Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this Biology of Trauma podcast. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and this might be a hard episode for you. I'm being honest and upfront. You might be one who will misunderstand what is being communicated here, but I feel so strongly about my own experience with chronic health symptoms, trauma, and parts of me that played a role that I am willing to risk your criticism or even anger at the idea that we can have trauma parts of us that make and keep us sick. Yes, you heard that correctly. So in this episode, I'm answering the question, why would trauma parts of us keep us stuck in a chronic health symptom? And here's what you will learn. First of all, why parts work is an essential component for a trauma healing journey, the role of protector parts and how they can affect physical health, how internal battles, conflicts between different parts of us can lead to physical symptoms and health issues. We will specifically look at a study with rheumatoid arthritis and parts, and then why connecting with self is the solution for helping to heal trauma. Before I bring Dr. Dick Schwartz on, I want to paint the context for my experience with parts and why I consider it an essential piece to anyone's trauma healing journey. For me, parts work is one of the three essential ingredient pillars to the healing journey for anyone to reach their full potential of healing. We're seeing the body through the lens of trauma, and we're looking for trauma patterns. And by that, I mean, how much of the time are we going into the stress response and getting stuck in stress and anxiety? And how often are we going into just the shutdown and the collapse and the depression and the exhaustion and getting stuck there perhaps, or going back and forth between the two? What are the patterns that we're working with? Then we're going to find the underlying reasons for those patterns. What about the biochemical imbalances, our mitochondria, our brain inflammation, neurodevelopmental gaps, some of our attachment issues? All of those are going to influence our trauma patterns. And then, based on what are the underlying reasons, we go to repair tools. Parts work is one of the essential ingredients that I bring into all of my work for addressing a biology of trauma. Yes, I said that correctly. The parts work is one of the essential ingredients for addressing a biology of trauma. And most people have only thought of parts work as something that you do in your head. No. Parts influence our biology strongly. And so there are three pillars that I teach will help someone reach their fullest potential for the healing journey. And those are the body. So for me, that's somatic work. There's the thoughts and beliefs, and that is parts work. And the biology, our parts affect our biology, and our biology affect our parts. So this conversation around parts work is essential, and I'm so glad that you are here to listen about this. Now, as you are listening to this interview, if you get curious about becoming a biology of trauma professional, finding a biology of trauma professional, or even working with a biology of trauma professional, then you can go to the website, which is traumahealingaccelerated.com. Now, for our conversation today on parts, of course, who else do I have but Dr. Dick Schwartz? He began his career as a family therapist and an academic at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And that is where he discovered that family therapy alone did not achieve full symptom relief. And in asking patients why, he learned that they were plagued by what they were describing as parts, and that it almost was this internal family that was having conversations and really battling it out between what each of them wanted. And so he developed this internal family systems. Now, what is amazing is how this can be applied to your physical health symptoms. He did a groundbreaking study on rheumatoid arthritis using parts that we're going to talk about. So with that, let's jump in and hear about parts work and the biology of trauma. Dr. Schwartz, what I've noticed over the years is that there seemed to be this part of people that found value in being sick. What part might that be, and why might we have that part?
So in many sort of chronic patients, you'll find a part that was so lacking of attention when they were young that they're using illness to try and get that from the outside world. What I find more often, though, is, and Gabor and I have talked about this considerable number of times, that there's often a polarization between, for example, with women in particular, these massive caretaking parts that take care of everybody else and don't let them take care of themselves. And then the parts that want to have a life are the ones that are using the illness. In my case, we did a big outcome study with rheumatoid arthritis, for example, as we had people focus on the pain and get curious about it, they would hear from the parts that hated their caretaking parts and were going to cripple them so they couldn't keep doing it, or were just at least trying to get their attention to say, you can't keep living this way. And as we worked that out, so there was a time sharing more and people stopped being so dominated by those parts. This was done at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and they were Irish Catholic mothers, basically. And as they listened and actually made changes, their arthritis got a lot better. In some cases, they went into full remission. And there's a nice study published in the Journal of Rheumatology. So that's more often the case, that the parts using the symptom are trying to get a message through. And traditional medicine is designed to kill the messenger rather than listen to the message. So the other common polarization that Gabor didn't talk about so much, I find, is with people who are driven by these workaholic parts, and then similarly the parts that want to have a life and are using the symptoms to try and get them to change.
So in essence, it's really a development of us not being able to listen to our bodies for a long time. Yeah. And so then these parts develop that say, well, if you're not going to listen this way, then I'm going to need to do this. I'm going to need to get sick. I'm going to need to cripple you. This is the only way that I see that I can actually get through to you and have you hear what I'm saying.
And that's what they say when you get to those parts. They'll say, what else was I supposed to do? I couldn't kill him. I didn't want to kill her. I just want to get some attention and want some changes made. And I've got her body. That's about all I got.
Where might the idea of protector parts come into this picture?
Sometimes it was a battle between different protector parts, between the big caretaking protector and then the part that is sick of taking care of everybody and feels victimized. And the big caretaking part is protecting an exile that worries that if they don't do that, that no one will like them. It's a part that feels unloved. And then the one who wants them to be assertive and have a life is often protecting a part that felt so powerless. And then there's just this battle happening inside.
Which, just as you describe it being a battle inside, that's definitely how my patients describe this internal conversation that seems to happen. And that has got to be exhausting. I see that even being a reason that they have low energy, that they then go into this fatigue because of the internal battle of their own parts in regards to their illness.
So what are you afraid will happen if you don't? Part will often say, you know, no one will like her and she'll be alone and I can't allow that to happen. And I'll say, okay, but aren't you tired? And the part will say, you have no idea how tired I am. And then you go to the other side and they're just tired of having to fight and cause symptoms. So yeah, there's a lot of weary parts in these battles.
And as I've seen, then that exhaustion from both sides really drives the continued dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system.
Yeah, very much. In my my framework, there's something called the self, which is a inherent good leader inside that has all these wonderful C-word qualities. And so the more you're blended with the protectors and the more exhausted your body is, the less access you have to self. And then the more, as all that calms down, then self starts to appear spontaneously. And when you access self, you naturally listen to your parts and you naturally make compromises and have a kind of inner democracy happen where it feels much more balanced. These parts don't need to give you symptoms.
And so from my perspective, those with a chronic illness feel this internal battle. Most of them don't even know that they have this other self available to them.
They're what in family therapy we used to call parentified children. They're often quite young, much younger than you might think, because when you were five, self wasn't available to protect you because you didn't have the body to protect you. They had to come forward and do it. And they think you still are five. And they think they have to protect you in the same way they did back then. And it's often a huge relief when I would just say, Amy, ask the part how old it thinks you are. And they say five. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm much older than that. I can handle much more than I could back then. And the part said, what? Are you kidding? So it's a huge relief.
That reminds me of a lady that came through my program, Caroline. She's over in the UK. We were doing some parts work along with the somatic work that we do. And her part was shocked to find that she was grown up. Mm-hmm. And her part still thought that she was waiting for mommy.
Yeah.
And it was exactly as you're describing this. What do you mean? We're in our 30s now? When did that happen?
Yeah, it's actually very common. It's really fun to witness. These parts have become frozen in time during the trauma. And thereafter, they live as if that's still the case. So it's a huge relief to them to find that there is some other grown-up in there that they can rely on. They don't have to do it all.
So would this be very similar to those patients who develop parts that look only to the provider or only to the physician, only to someone else to give them guidance and kind of put everything in regards to their illness or their trauma journey into the hands of another?
They need somebody to take care of. Unfortunately, there's only so much you can do to help somebody heal when they're dominated by these parts. So it becomes that kind of chronic situation. And then creates burnout among physicians too.
That's definitely been my experience as being the one in those shoes and feeling that this person has placed everything on me, that I have now become responsible for their life, their happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's a large responsibility to feel that has been placed on you.
And that was true when I started out with this part stuff, because before I knew about self, I was kind of being the self to the system, and all these young, needy parts would attach to me. It was fine when I'm doing okay, but if I ever made a mistake or got distracted or something, these protectors would come roaring in and just attack me, and that wasn't fun. When I found the self in there, I very quickly handed the baton off to that self to become the primary caretaker, the primary attachment figure.
So I have a lot of people in the audience who are listening to this who are professionals and are in my training program to become biology of trauma professionals. What advice would you have for those professionals as a way to start the conversation with their clients or their patients on parts and what might be happening in the dynamic?
Define the parts of them that feel so responsible and to just work with some of that so that they don't feel so bad about themselves if they can't take care of these people. I work with a number of physicians that have given up their medical practice and are mainly just working with clients in their parts. It's much more rewarding than trying to give them medicine every time they come in. And then when the non-compliant parts start in, then, okay, let's find the part that doesn't let you do this. let's see what that's about and where it's stuck in the past. Because it's much more rewarding to not just try the same things over and over. They're often amazed to find some part that's sabotaging or is really afraid to have them get well.
I have found doing parts work with my patients, it has become an essential piece to what I do. We come up against self-sabotage. Yeah. And we can't really move past that in an effective way without bringing in a conversation about parts. And when we can, it makes the whole relationship flow, because instead of battling it out and being like, I need you to do this, and they're like, no, I'm not going to do this, or yes, I will, being able to just be open about, hey, we have different parts of us.
Yeah.
We don't know what parts of you are going to show up. We don't know what parts of me are going to show up, but this is a normal, natural thing. And we get to notice as it happens and have a conversation about it, because when we can identify the parts that are coming up, we can work with them. And it just makes so many problems in the medical care system fall away.
I think the study is maybe 12 years old, allowed us to become evidence-based. I tried to battle against traditional psychiatry and got spit out and just went grassroots. And now it's coming back around 40 years later to where it's having an impact on those fields too. There's some kind of critical mass was reached. So many people are coming to their providers insisting that they do some of this, which is how it does change.
And from my experience with any chronic health conditions, there are times when it's just because I walked into the wrong room. Mm-hmm. I ate the wrong food, whatever it was. But even in those circumstances, then it seems like parts show up.
Right. That's so right. That
parts will then show up when those chronic health symptoms come, and we get to notice and be curious about, oh, there's this part that hates that this has happened again. And yes, there's this part that feels sorry for us. There's all these parts that can show up that, again, may not have been the cause of it, mm-hmm, but show up as a part of just having a chronic health condition. I don't see how someone can have a chronic health condition and not have parts develop and show up as a result of it.
Yeah, with the RA patients, we measured a lot of things besides just their level of pain, because many of them were quite depressed. And it wasn't just having RA, it was what you did to yourself around the fact that you had it and how much you let it affect your self-esteem and limit your life.
As I hear that, like, I hear hope. I hear the possibilities of using a tool that maybe some people haven't considered to help make my life better, to help make my physical health symptoms better. It's like, wow, I can actually learn about these parts of me, learn how to work with them, learn how to negotiate with them, learn how to take care of them, learn how to have this other type of communication relationship with them that will make such a difference on my physical health. I get goosebumps just thinking about the possibilities of the transformation, the change that people can experience if they took this to heart and really started applying parts work to their daily life.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it feels good to talk to somebody who can take it more in that direction. Because again, I haven't had much traction in the medical field. So
we'll make it happen.
Fantastic.
We'll make it happen some way, somehow. And thank you for joining me on this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. As we wrap this up on the role of parts work and healing unresolved trauma and our health symptoms, I would love to know your comments. Please drop a note for me in the show notes. There's actually a section that I have created just for that. And I want to hear what you got out of this, what resonated for you. If you do have criticisms and anger for me on the topic, and what questions you might still have. I will include some links for you in the show notes. One will be my guide on steps to identify and heal trauma, store trauma in the body. I will also include my attachment trauma roadmap. Whenever we talk about parts, so many of our parts go back to our early years and attachment. So that will be an important roadmap for some of you. I will include a video on my YouTube channel that I did years ago on being our authentic self on the trauma healing journey, all about parts work. So you can go find that video. It's actually become rather popular. So you can see that and that context around what does that even mean to become our authentic self. And then I will include the link to the foundational journey because this is where I teach parts work. The first half is a 21-day journey into somatic work and going into our nervous system. And then we do somatic parts work. And on the registration page, you will see the changes that happen in people's physiology and biology as they do this somatic and somatic parts work. It is literally helping people sleep better, feel better, eat better, have less pain, and the like. And with that, as I said earlier in this episode, for me, there is lots of hope. When we have tools, it changes everything. And that's what has given me a lot of hope. And for many of those who've gone through my courses. With that, thank you. And until next episode, lots of love.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe. We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey. And you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars. Share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love. Thank you.